Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today on the second Sunday in Advent. We begin this morning's worship service with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, the time is near for us to commemorate the birth of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Help us to look forward not only to the arrival of the babe of Bethlehem, but also to the arrival of the King of Kings as he comes again in glory. Be with us and bless our worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is hymn 515. Rise. We'll follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds and pure hearts. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is a responsive reading of Psalm 130. You find that printed on the top of page 4 in your bulletin. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness for you, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits.
And in his word I give hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
Yes, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy.
And with him is abundant redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We'll read from chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Glory to you, O Lord. This prophecy from Isaiah speaks of a shoot or a stem coming out of the branch of Jesse. Of course, it is a prophecy of the coming Christ. This section of Isaiah also contains some very symbolic picture language, signifying in a physical way the spiritual peace that Jesus would come to bring. This section of Isaiah is also quoted in our sermon text for today. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the top of page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 359.
Thank you. Please rise.
Grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior Jesus, on whom our hope is built, in whom our hope is found, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll read from chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name. And again he says, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we come to the second gift in our Advent series on the gifts of Christmas, the gift of hope. This gift is probably one of the most underappreciated gifts that God has given to us. Even from an earthly perspective and in an earthly sense, we probably don't always realize just how essential and how vital that gift of hope actually is to us human beings. But it is truly vital. It's essential. If you don't have hope, you got nothing. Shakespeare once wrote, The miserable have no other medicine but only hope. Thomas Fuller, an English preacher and historian of the 1600s, wrote this. He said, If it were not for hopes, the heart would break. If you doubt the importance of hope, and that might mean that you have never, or maybe you just can't remember, experiencing what it's like to be truly hopeless. It's one of the most terrible and miserable experiences that the human heart, the human mind, the human life can experience. It's like being at the bottom of a bottomless pit with no chance to climb out. No escape, no light at the end of the tunnel. It's a very desperate and very depressing state to be in. Well, if being hopeless is that painful and that devastating emotionally and mentally, think of how devastating and destructive it would be to be spiritually hopeless. Free falling down a bottomless pit spiritually, headed for a bottomless pit of eternal death in hell. No chance of climbing out, getting yourself out of that predicament, or saving yourself from that destination. That is truly a horrible and horrifying state to be in. Well, thankfully, one of the gifts that God gave us by sending his great gift of his Son Jesus Christ at Christmas was the very gift of hope itself. In fact, in our text, God himself is called the God of hope. But this hope that God gives us is not like earthly hope. It's certainly not the same kind of hope that we speak of or use in our everyday language. Hope in the sense of a mere wish. Like, I hope we have a white Christmas, or I hope I get everything I want for Christmas. No, hope in the biblical sense is not a mere wish. In the biblical sense, hope can best be defined as joyful and confident expectation in God's promises. Think of how the Bible speaks of hope. Hope is closely linked to faith. In fact, it's listed with faith and love in 1 Corinthians 13 as three of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that hope is the groundwork of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our great hope as Christians, of course, is that joyful and confident expectation that Jesus will return, in fact, as he promised, to take us to be with him, even as he fulfilled that promise to come so long ago as a baby in Bethlehem. But how do we live in this hope while we still dwell here on this earth, while we wait joyfully and confidently for that future hope to be fulfilled? How can we live in hope in this life that often seems so hopeless, a life that can seem to be filled with troubles and less hope than we would like to have? How can we, as the Apostle Paul prays in our text, abound in hope? Well, he finishes our text in the last verse by saying that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We tap into that power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In that Word of God, we find God's gift of hope. In the first verse of our text, Paul points his readers to the Scriptures. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Remember what Paul is pointing to when he speaks of the Scriptures. He's not pointing to the full Bible as we know it today. The New Testament had not been written yet, at least not the full New Testament. He's pointing the people to the Old Testament Scriptures. And what do we find in the Old Testament Scriptures? We find countless examples of patience and comfort that God gives us, things recorded for us through the accounts of the lives of God's people that were written for our learning, for our comfort, for our patience, that we might have hope. Think of some of the great heroes of faith that are written about in the Old Testament. What you realize when you examine just about every one of the lives of those heroes of faith in the Old Testament is that God did instill patience and comfort and hope in these people through the difficult things that he allowed them to go through. And some of them went through some of these difficult stretches for a very, very long time. Stretches of time that we could hardly imagine going through ourselves. Think of some of the most famous Old Testament stories and accounts. Think of men like Abraham, who waited many years for the son that God had promised him, even into his old age, 100 years old. Think of Joseph of the Old Testament, one of the sons of Jacob, a young man who was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery in Egypt, and just as things were looking up, he was thrown into prison for years. Think of King David, one of the most prominent men in the Old Testament, chosen to be God's king of Israel at a very early age, even defeating the giant Goliath in one of the most famous stories of the Old Testament, winning great victories for his people at a young age. But even he ended up being forced into exile, being chased and hunted like an outlaw, living in caves, running for years from the envious King Saul, who was trying to kill him. To each of these men, God had made great promises. And in those promises, these men put their hope. However, each one of them went through a long period of life as if looking in times that it looked as if that hope was gone. That hope had died because it seemed that to them maybe that God's promises had failed. But the fact was, in every case, God was faithful to his promises in his perfect timing, and in his perfect way. Think again of Abraham. Abraham was finally miraculously given his son Isaac when he was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90. And from Isaac, the entire nation of Israel would emerge. And most importantly, from that line then would come Jesus, the Savior. Think of how Joseph in the Old Testament, think of how his story ends. He was not only released from prison eventually, he was made ruler of all Egypt, second in command only to the Pharaoh. He was able to use that position and his influence to save many people during a great famine, including, in fact, his family, who had come down to Egypt to find food. And in preserving and saving his family, God, through Joseph, preserved and saved the line of the Savior Jesus. And think of King David. During those years of exile, running from Saul, he was spiritually strengthened by God, and during that time he wrote some of the greatest and most beloved Psalms. He was eventually crowned king at age 30 and ruled for 40 years as possibly the greatest king of Israel. You could probably think of many other examples in the Old Testament as well of heroes of faith who went through great difficulties but were buoyed by the hope and comfort that God had given them in his promises. Think of men like Moses or Job, Samson, and Daniel. Why did God record these accounts for us, these true stories in history? Paul says they were written for our learning. Let's not miss the lessons God is teaching us through them. When we are in the depths of a long and deep stretch of trials, of loneliness, we can look at these scriptural examples and realize that God has not left us. He's not forgotten us. He's going to work out our difficult, even our terrible, horrible, or extremely tragic situations for our blessing. We can be assured that our Heavenly Father does have, in fact, good reasons for allowing us to go through these tough times, just like he had good reasons for allowing these men of faith in the Old Testament to go through what they went through. Now, when Paul pointed his readers to the Old Testament scriptures, he wasn't just pointing to these examples of faith and hope. He also was pointing them to the one who is their true hope, the one who is our true hope, Jesus Christ. Remember, the people he was writing to, the men and women of the Christian congregation in Rome, they would have contained both Jewish people and Gentile people, people who are not of the Jewish race. And so he reminds them that Jesus came to be the Savior of all people, both the Jews, those who were of the circumcised, and the Gentiles, those of the other nations. He writes in verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers." That's a reference to the Jewish patriarchs, Abraham, for example. "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." He then quotes from four different Old Testament verses to clearly show that God had prophesied and included the Gentiles in his plan of salvation. And in verse 12, Paul quotes a prophecy about Jesus from the prophet of Isaiah, which we read in our Old Testament reading for this morning. When he says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." What does this have to do with us? Why should this give us hope and comfort? Well, as far as I know, we all who are gathered here today are Gentiles. We would fall into that race of people. We are Gentiles, and it tells us and reminds us that this child that was born in Bethlehem so long ago is also our Savior. He is the gift of hope even for us. Even though we were born by nature hopeless, spiritually dead in our sins, and headed for condemnation, even though we live thousands of miles from the Holy Land, from the place of Jesus' birth, even though we are separated now by several thousand years from the days in which Christ walked this earth, still God has given this gift of hope personally to each one of us through Jesus Christ by bringing us to faith in him. And we unwrap that gift of hope each time we open up his word and read from the scriptures and hear those promises for ourselves. We open up that gift of hope each time, in remembrance of Jesus, we partake of the Lord's Supper for the hope of our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. We find our hope in Jesus because in him we find the fulfillment of all of God's promises. He did come as God had promised and prophesied. He did come to be the Savior of both the Jews and the Gentiles, the hope the joyful and confident expectation of all believers. He came and lived a perfect life without one misdeed, without one misstep or sin, in order to be our righteousness. He came and he was pierced for our transgressions on the cross. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he rose again, as he said he would, just 3 days later. Now he lives and reigns to be our comfort in sorrows, our strength in our troubles, and our hope. Our certain expectation that he will work all things out for our good in this life, and that he will be our sure and certain hope of heaven when he comes again. And he will. He's promised. That is something you can rest your hope upon. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew.
From our thankful hearts will now be received. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 342.
Thank you.
Please rise. We bring prayers of thanksgiving this morning for little Chloe Breeden, who had successful eye surgery on Friday morning. She's recovering very well, and her mom says that she is doing exceptionally well after the surgery. And we thank God for her successful surgery, and we'll pray for continued and full recovery for her. We also pray prayers of thanksgiving and requests for protection for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Southern California. All reports I've heard from them are that they are safe and have not lost any property. There have been a few close calls in their areas, but it sounds like things are going okay down there, and we do plan on having our services down there this evening. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are our joyful expectation and our sure and certain hope of heaven. We ask you to be with us during this Advent season as we look forward to celebrating your birth, as we look forward to your return to take us to be with you in heaven. Fill us with hope, Lord, and give us your grace and peace as we go about our daily lives. Help us to look to you for our strength, our comfort, and our hope. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers for Jesus' sake. We humbly thank and praise you that you have heeded the prayers of your people for Chloe Breeden and have made her eye surgery successful. We thank you, Lord, for giving her such great healing so far and pray that you would daily improve her health and make her recovery complete. Restore her strength so that she may return to the things that she most enjoys doing. And please, Lord, give the parents the wisdom and strength to do what they need to do for Chloe in the future. We thank you, Lord, for watching over our brothers and sisters in Christ in Southern California, and we pray that you would continue to protect them and the people of that area from the raging wildfires. If it is your will, Lord, cause those fires to cease. Bless the firefighters and those who are attempting to extinguish the fire. Keep them safe. Give them the wisdom and the ability to control the fires. Control the weather, Lord, that it would be favorable and that those who are affected by the flames would be kept safe. No loss of life and property in the near future or the continued future. I'll give me safe travel to our services there this evening and give all of us the assurance and hope that you are with us and that you are watching over us and working all things out for our good. Dear Savior, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit throughout the world to bring to faith those who do not know you yet and to strengthen the faith of those who do. Dear Lord, our sinful flesh leads us into all manner of sin and doubt and unbelief. We ask you to forgive us daily and give us victory over our temptations. We praise you for all of your blessings and especially for the hope that you give us in you. We pray these things in your name as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn for today is hymn 349.
Our Lord, Lord, Son, the Savior comes.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also ask for a blessed and safe travel to those of you who are heading back this week and pray that you would have a blessed Christmas season. And not just to our visitors, but a blessed Christmas season to all of you. Later on today, I'll be heading down to Southern California for a worship service at 6:30. We thank and praise the Lord for keeping things clear in that area. I'm feeling a little bit like the fire jinx as I was leaving the last time I had services down there. I was driving next to some pretty apocalyptic-looking fires on the way to the airport, and I'll probably be driving near some of those when I get down there. So I hope I'm not some sort of like a fire jinx in the future to the Southern California folks. I continue to pray for them. And give thanks for the safety that God's given our members down there. This week, Wednesday evening, we're having a special Wednesday evening Advent service. We'll have a worship service here in the sanctuary, and then when it's finished, we're going into the fellowship hall for some Christmas carols and some Christmas cookies. If you have a favorite Christmas cookie to bring, maybe more than one, you can bring them on Wednesday evening. Or just bring yourself and eat cookies.
Thursday, we'll be having choir practice for our Christmas season. That's at 6:30 on Thursday. Next Sunday, Bible class will resume at its usual time of 9 a.m., and then worship service with communion at 10 a.m. Check your mailboxes. There is a financial report for the month of November. And also remember the food donation box in the entryway for the community service agency here in Mountain View. In the blue insert, you'll see also the Advent and Christmas season worship schedule. Keep that in mind as we approach Christmas, which is only 2 weeks from today, if you can believe that. There's also a poem about the Advent wreath written by a former pastor of the CLC, retired pastor now, Eldale Redland, gives you a little information about the Advent wreath and some of the symbolism behind the various candles and what they represent. Any other announcements this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.